You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Aching limbs and downcast face aglow with perspiration. Stiff as wire, her lungs on fire with just the briefest pause.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
And I'm really professional, fellas. I'm coughing, I'm dying, but that red light goes on. And I'm in the zone. I'm ready to pod.
You sound it. The dead zone, maybe, because you sound like you're going to die. But
I'm not doing great over here. There might be some muting of me. Let's do sponsors real quick.
Sponsors. Shout out to Live a Lie. Shout out to Run for Cover. Wow. Shout out to Death Wish Inc. And shout out to Closed Casket Activities.
Woo!
All right, we're going to start in a place here, Run for Cover Records, runforcoverrecords.com. Going to keep it quick and short. Guys, Turnover has a new LP coming out in November. They've been around for a minute, probably playing your favorite 1500 cap at this point. Their new LP is called Myself in the Way. I'm excited about it. This is a band who not every single one of their LPs has hit for me. This is full honesty, but I check out everyone and I enjoy something about it. So this is pretty interesting. The title track, Myself in the Way, features vocals from Brendan from Turnstile. Got to check that out. There's a music video. You can go pre-order it now. I'm assuming a bunch of the variants are sold out. That's because this band's gigantic. Be on the in. Get it right now. runforcoverrecords.com. Easy read, guys. Easy read. Easy read. Before we do the next read, I do want to shout out Patrick, Tom. We forgot to mention the band God's Fate. They were awesome.
Provoking.
At Sound and Fury Festival. We all were watching God's Fate. They were super good. And
I can't do it with a straight face. I can't do it.
I know. Yo, Bob, they God's know we got love. Huh? My favorite God's Fate song is
he's not stopping.
The praise of our no, yo, shout out to God's Hate. Tom, Closed Casket Activities. CloseCasketActivities.com. Hit us with the read.
I just want to shout out God's Hate. The God's Hate, the album God's Hate, because when we were going through the Sound and Fury lineup when we were doing our little review thing, old Tom got confused going back and forth in the lineup, and I missed them. And I got a very terse message from a professional wrestler that, you know, can dive on and take out like 27 people with one fell swoop. No, I'm just kidding. We love those dudes. It was a complete oversight, and I felt terrible. And I realized if you listen to the Patreon right after, I go, God damn it, we forgot God's Hate. So this is they were fantastic. They got one of the biggest reactions of the whole weekend. They sounded insane. 3 guitar attack. They were great. So shout outs to Brody and those dudes. They killed it.
And if you somehow have not checked out their last LP, if you're a fan of hard music, let me go personal and actually go like resonant. I'm fairly certain Brody has gone to, I believe he's gone to every single Sound and Fury. That makes him one of a very few people.
He's a core dude.
Oh, no, he 100% is. But like, even beyond that, like that's a really cool thing. Shout out to that dude for supporting, but had a really cool conversation for about like literally 2 minutes with him, friend Travis, couple other dudes there too, about when the Trapped Under Ice demo came out and then Sound and Fury 2008, maybe it was, and how it was for Brody that it was like a, oh, my hardcore is back. And I think about that, and I was like, that's a cool, interesting moment. If for some reason you like hard music, period, whether it's hardcore, whether it's metal, whatever you want to call it, if you like hard music, you have to hear the Last God's Hate LP. Still available from Closed Casket. Support our buddy there. If they got merch, you got to get the merch there as well. CloseCasketActivities.com. Let's go. Yo, good morning, Vietnam. How you doing? How you feeling? Guys, how are we doing today?
Well, it sounds like today will be the last episode because that's going to be putting a fucking iron lung in Perth somewhere.
Yeah, I'm struggling.
What's wrong with you? It's, wrong pipe, or you really sick?
Just happened. No idea.
Literally, he's gone downhill since we started chatting on Zencaster here.
Yeah, no idea what's going on, but it's not killing it right now.
So we're going to have to figure this out. Guys, I thought about this as I made the reference to Good Morning Vietnam.
Yes. One of my
How far are we from references being known as secondary references, but the original is like, what do you mean? I just heard some dude say that one time, you know?
Oh,
I think that's one. I think me referring to O.J. Simpson running through an airport on one of those episodes.
Yeah.
People were like, Pat got it because Pat's 97 like me.
No. I mean, I knew it. Those commercials. Oh. Like, are we predicting that now Tom Brady is going to be the next O.J.?
That's what I'm predicting. Well,
I mean, I hope not for
He's the Hertz spokesman.
I don't know.
Well, because I was thinking about it because I thought of that Good Morning Vietnam, and I'm like, I don't even know. And I was like, okay, I do know the original placement for that. But then I was like, oh, there are references that I don't know that I've ever, like, To the Moon, Alice. Okay. I know what it's from. I don't know if I ever have witnessed where that came from, like in part, you know what I mean? Like, I know what it's from, but I've never seen it or heard it from the original source. Yeah,
domestic violence on regular TV.
Yeah, for our listeners that don't know, that's a line from The Honeymooners where the star of the show, when he would be frustrated with his wife, would hold his fist up and kind of intone that he was going to punch her in the jaw, and he'd
right,
go
to the moon.
And that's that is bygone. That's what we call that. That's a different era.
Yeah, and I just think about it, and I think, you know, there's going to be a lot more of those references. It's sort of a funny, interesting way to parallel to hardcore in a different manner. I didn't mean this, but where there's going to be bands doing winks and nods sonically, or even more than a wink and a nod, a direct like lift that maybe is tracked as homage. And people won't totally know where the source material is. Oh, and that's okay. But it is interesting as you get further and further away from the original, you know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, think about there's a Have Heart song that quotes fucking Neil Young.
Right. Take a look at my life.
Thank God that. Like, old man, take a look at my life.
I know. It's also because he almost raps it. Like, he does it in that kind of like pitter pat.
Old man, take a look at my life.
I know. Is Half Heart more rap metal than they get credit for? Should we go in on that? You know?
Yes. E-Town's playing in Jersey. If they're looking for an opener, I think Half Heart would be a great fit.
I agree. Why wouldn't they? It's about time that Pat Flynn caught that gold chain flu. Yo, guys, we are warmed up. We went cold. We went right into recording today. Very little preamble. But we have a topic. We have a linchpin. It's almost September. A lot of parts of the United States, school is going back in right now. Guess who's come back for another lesson from Professor Pat and Dr. Tom?
Is it our man Winston?
No. Winston is a Ghostbuster. Wilson from Westchester is in class. So... Winston's favorite hardcore band from LA is God's Fate. That's correct. Yo,
Winston. wait, there's a movie with someone named Winston, but it's not. I mean, obviously it's not Ghostbusters, but I feel like it had something to do with like an orangutan.
You're thinking Dunstan.
Dunstan checks in. School. Yeah.
No, Dunstan goes to school. Dunstan checks sequel. In.
Are you all right? If you go to fucking IMDb, you tell me for certain there's not a Dunstan goes to school in there.
I can't say that. Dunstan checks in.
You're definitely
like straight to DVD. Like, you know, Matt LeBlanc is struggling and doing a fucking. Right? Isn't that the dude from Friends in that? Joey?
Wait, say that again?
Isn't the dude from Friends in that movie?
In the Dunstan series? I'm not totally sure. Let's see. Dunstan checks in sequel. Let's see.
1996. All right,
Dunstan checks in to what happened to the orangutan from Dunstan checks in. Wow, I don't think there's a Dunstan checks in too. Dunstan goes to school.
Dunstan die?
Yeah, I would imagine Dunstan is now dead. Sadly.
Dunstan died. That's the sequel. Shouldn't all movies have a what's the movie Ernest? Shouldn't they all have an Ernest style legacy, like where it's like, oh, the first one did well. Oh, the second one went to theaters, but it was a bomb. Well, the third one's going to go directed VHS. It did pretty well. Fourth, fifth, sixth. Like, I think every movie should have a tale like that, like Planet of the Apes, where it trails into shit.
George Costanza was the main character, Jason Alexander.
And, did you confuse Jason Alexander and Joey?
Yes. And then Pee Wee Herman was also in the movie playing a character named Buck Lafarge and Faye Dunaway. Wow. So, you know what? And Rupert Everett. Come on. There's some fucking people in this movie.
This is a hell of a movie. All right, everybody. Our first recommendation to our friend Wilson from Westchester is go watch Dunstan Checks In and maybe script out the plot for the sequel, Dunstan Goes to School. And hopefully not the third, Dunstan Dies, which takes a real Evil Dead turn. Guys, you're sitting at the diner and it's morning today. You guys decided to go get a cup of coffee and sitting at the diner and your old buddy Wilson walks in. Now I'm going to be calling him Winston. Wilson walks in and says, hey guys, can I get in on this?
Sure, have a seat, Winston. Yeah. But before I start, the movie that I was confusing Dunstan Checks In was a movie called Ed, a 1996 American sports comedy about a talented pitcher and his friendly baseball-playing chimpanzee.
I remember that.
Tom, sorry. He doesn't go to school either.
That's what I was going to say. No one's going to school.
But Matt LeBlanc has Jack Deuce Cooper.
Okay, that counts.
So somewhere between Dunstan Checks In, Ed, and Back to School, and Back to School featuring Rodney Dangerfield is Dunstan Goes to School.
That's it. So sorry, I just wanted to interrupt with that.
Well, guys, I really like hearing about these movies I'm never going to watch, but I have some questions about Hardcore. Can you help me?
Maybe.
We'll do our damnedest, Winston.
I discovered Power Trip pretty early, and I really like them. I love Drain and Mind Force and Dead Heat. What other new bands should I check out? And are there any old bands I should check out if I love Power Trip?
Some of their contemporaries?
Well, let's start with a friend's band. You could check out Enforced for sure.
Absolutely.
What are they like?
I would say it's kind of, to my ear, a little heavier than what we're talking, like a little more prone to heaviness than what we're talking about.
A little more metal than Power Trip, like a one tick to the right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be worth checking out. This is not
Iron
my
Age.
World. If we're going to go back. So, Tom, think
about it. Yeah, I don't know any older bands. I don't know any older bands either before Power Trip that might have sounded like them. What should I listen to?
So I think you would like Iron Age. They were from the same general area as Power Trip in Texas.
Okay.
Pulling from the same ideas. So both bands pulled from this Cro-Mags record called Best Wishes.
Oh, what's that like?
It's the second record by that band, the Cro-Mags, who we talked about with you before. And it's a record that took a lot of people probably 20 years to come around on.
Oh, is this the record that some people say is just as much a heavy metal record as it is a hardcore record?
Correct.
Oh, that's neat. Okay, cool.
A lot of riffs are very similar to what is being referred to as like thrash today. So I think you could listen to Best Wishes if you really want to go to the source. And while you're back there, you can check out Crumbsuckers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're a band from Long Island. A band called Leeway from Astoria, Queens, that were more – that had a very metal kind of thrash vibe with a singer that was like an early what was called a B-boy, so like a rapper almost.
Oh, weird. But are the vocals rap?
Picture Ozzy Osbourne if he was born in Bushwick.
That an aside, editor's note, that's the best description Eddie Leeway's ever gotten, Tom. That's fantastic.
Is that fair, though?
It's more than fair. It's fantastic. I mean, is it 100%
true? Though,
maybe not, but it's so good. It's so good. Like, it's the most, like, if I'm Eddie, I'm like, yo, I want that in my, that's put that on my profile. That's in my bio, you know?
I'm going to log into Wikipedia right now. Pacamira Saddam 518 password.
Okay. What other stuff should I check out if I love Power Trip?
I can
new
never
or old.
When we do this exercise, I can never tell if Winslow is like from another if he's from another fucking planet or not. Like, what,
have
like
you Tom, been to Westchester, Pennsylvania?
But Tom is like, well, he looked a bit like he was into rap, which is a form of music where the lyrics are syncopated. It's like what?
No, look, Wilfred is having a hard time, and he's real young. He's got that farm face, like looking at you very wide eyed, like. Uh-huh. Like, come on. Just picture, you know, picture somebody Westchester, okay. Pennsylvania. We got love. But,
all right,
but
all
we're
right.
Saying you're
okay.
New.
Thrash is not my thing, so there's probably two Agnostic Front records that you could check out. There's a handful of...
Agnostic Front, you guys mentioned last time, they're a New York hardcore band.
They are, but everybody was doing thrash for a minute, and they didn't dodge that bullet.
Pat, what was that called when everyone was doing like thrash kind of hardcore, like metal hardcore?
Oh, you could call Winston. You could call that crossover.
Oh, neat.
So, I'm going to low key. I'm going to do a thing I don't think I've ever done on this podcast. I'm going to advocate for Anthrax.
I love Anthrax. I back it.
I know you do, and I've tried over the years. It doesn't take, but everyone.
All right, can I make a suggestion? Maybe to you, and maybe to Winston or Winslow. Mm-hmm. What did you call him the last time? Winslow. Have you ever listened to the Anthrax records with John Bush?
No.
What records are those, Tom?
Those are the first one was Sound of White Noise. Completely different vocal style. Some people, it's not as like, you know how the most of the Anthrax stuff is very like Bruce Dickinson, like I'm hitting notes, like, you know, it's like
it can get there for sure.
This dude's got like a gravelly, like a great voice, but like it feels like it's like five fucking things five registers lower.
Mm.
And like very soulful, dude. Like there's a song called Only. It's like it could be. I mean, this is like when like Quicksand was touring with Anthrax.
Right.
Weird era.
But like it was that like level of kind of like almost post metal hardcore. It's that Sound of White Noise is a really good record. He was in it for like two or three records and of varying goodness. But I feel like if you can't get into Anthrax because the vocals, and also I think you got to get into Anthrax as a kid. I remember like getting into him in like very young. I'd be like, I like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Run DMC.
Yes.
Like, they're funny.
Yo, you know what I'm saying?
Like, they're not like Slayer, like Slayer scary as a kid. Like, mm-hmm. Anthrax is like...
Anthrax is accessible metal. Yeah, you're right.
They wear shorts and Public Enemy shirts and they're goofs.
Yeah, real big goofs.
I think, to me, it's the first three Anthrax records. It's really funny how Anthrax is OG hardcore adjacent. as much as there's the, like, so the backstory being that they tried to copyright the NYHC, you know, logo essentially. And obviously that nobody's going to be happy about that. But they swam in similar circles and have always, like you said, Tom, like they were touring with Quicksand in like 93, 94. Right now, Hatebreed's out on tour with Anthrax. You know what I mean? like it's a weird thing. You nailed it perfectly when you said, I think it's, you have to get into them young. You can appreciate, no, go ahead.
No, I mean, you know, if you want to, you know, listen to a whole record about a Stephen King book, well, if I got something for you, or like, you know, they have a mascot that like moshes around the stage, but it's not like the quality. It's like the end of like Step Brothers. It's like, it's not movie quality. Like Iron Maiden has like the Eddie that runs around that looks like a real fucking skeleton or whatever the fuck. Like Anthrax has a guy in like a paper mache hat, like mask running around.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's so, not nearly as cool,
but if it's awesome. If you can catch Anthrax prior to age 18, I think maybe you can enjoy some of the more irreverence part of it, but there's riffs. Like they have riffs.
Oh, dude, and if you like
thrash, I think those first three are really hard to deny, and it extends beyond that. Like, if you love those first three, you can just keep working through and see if you have a drop off point.
I think musically, what goes on in thrash metal in more current times, I think not vocally but musically, I think they're the most kind of most utilized source, other than Best Wishes. Like, I think bands don't sound like Metallica.
No.
They don't sound like Slayer either.
No, I was going to say there's bands who get just touches of Slayer, but they don't go full Slayer. They incorporate Slayer into like an Anthrax bass. Like the bass is Anthrax, and then they add some Slayer, and they add some Cro-Mag's Best Wishes. And I mean, where you start to see differences in sound, like Iron Age, if you ask me, like, they use, especially for Constant Struggle, somewhere between Best Wishes and Age of Quarrel is their bass. And they pull in little things from elsewhere. When they move to Sleeping Eye, I think they go to a different place. I think Power Trip is kind of in that sweet spot of like somewhere between Slayer, Anthrax, and then New York hardcore elements. And I wouldn't even say there's some Best Wishes for sure. There's some AF Cause for Alarm. There's definitely some leeway. I love the Crumbsuckers reference. Slipping into Wilson voice. What about these bands like Suicidal Tendencies and DRI? I see their names come up when I look into thrash and crossover from the 80s.
Correct. Although if you're a real Power Trip head, it might be, some of that might feel a little lightweight for you.
Oh, you know what I'd like to bring up?
Go.
And a more current time, even though it's not very current at this point, but they're still going, but like they were Power Trip kind of, they ran with Power Trip, Take Offense.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I think I think they have a lot of the Suicidal to them.
Yep.
So the music's a little different, but definitely close. Some clean vocals. I think Suicidal is probably an easier. If you brought a Suicidal record to a kid in 2022, or to our friend Wilson, I think it's an easier buy-in than a DRI record. Depending on when, I mean, if Wilson's coming from a completely clean palate, then I think it's Suicidal. Like you put on like Lights, Camera, Revolution, and you hear like, you know, You Can't Bring Me Down. You're like, I'm in. I'm down.
Right.
But if you
I think even Join the Army, you could really get in.
Right, sure. Away. Yeah. But like DRI is like, if you're coming from a different angle, you might prefer DRI. But if you're coming with like virgin ears, I feel like Suicidal is an easier listen.
Okay, great. That's a great list of bands. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Wilson.
So I have some more questions. Is Fiddlehead hardcore? They don't sound hardcore to my ears, but they play hardcore shows and everyone I know likes them. Is Fiddlehead a hardcore band?
Yes. Although, so Winston, this is going to be tough on your brain because it's tough on all young people's brains. It can actually be two things. And you don't... and you can...
I'm not sure I understand.
It's fun to argue about, but the end of the day, it's really eye of the beholder, and it can be two things. Because I just checked out some of the sets from Sound and Fury that I missed. And
what's Sound and Fury?
It's a festival. It's a rap festival. Rap is this thing that so the point is that there's a lot of shit there that, in the strictest definition of the word, at least people of my age may not consider hardcore, right? But it is. So this is one of those tough things to reconcile if you've got like an A or B brain where you want everything fileable, but sometimes shit just touches on more than one space, and this would be an example thereof. You could either say that Fiddlehead is on the most extreme end of melodicism of a hardcore act, or is on the very rough end of like a melodic punk, or you could say even rock act. So those are different ways that you could say the same thing. Your choice.
Is there anything else that makes them a hardcore band outside of the sound? Because I'm trying to understand that.
Yeah.
God, you're really...
I think their philosophies, the way they run their band, the members of said band,
mm-hmm.
they're all punk dudes from various backgrounds.
Yes. So, okay. Now you're
the reaction.
Yeah, but we're really getting into the weeds on this because
Wilson's young and doesn't know what he's talking about.
I know, but it's more complicated than that even, because there was a time, Wilson, where you would say, well, they conduct themselves like a hardcore band in the respect that they manage themselves, they book their own tours, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe they put out their own records. However, it has become increasingly normal for hardcore acts to have booking agents, to have managers.
Okay.
So this is a thing that has changed in my lifetime. And so now calling something a hardcore band is really tricky to put your finger on because the lines are so blurred. It is as the Tom, maybe you remember this from law school. It is, I believe, a Florida judge said, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it in regards to pornography. Right. That's hardcore.
And he also, yeah.
That's
yeah.
hardcore.
Yeah. yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. Thanks. I just got a bunch of stickers when I ordered some new merch online.
Mm.
Should I put the stickers all over my car? How many is the right amount?
Yeah, you
what should. If I don't know the band, but I think the sticker looks cool?
It's fine. Fuck it. It's fucking fine.
How many is the right amount? Should I cover my entire back windshield?
Yeah, you should become yes. a hazard.
Yes, right. If you the less you can see, the less peripheral you got, the better.
Okay, thanks.
I wouldn't though because
oh,
you're depreciating the value of your car.
It's all downhill. Winston, I just want to point out that John Bush, singer for Armored Saint and occasional Anthrax vocalist, I just learned a fact. This has taught me something, that he does voiceover work for Burger King commercials. I did not know that. So
wow,
oh, neat
little fun
That's
fact.
Cool.
Who do you think makes more money, Joey Belladonna or John Bush?
2022? I don't know. That Burger King money's probably all right.
That's what I'm saying. It's probably nothing to sneeze at.
No, probably. I wouldn't take the Burger King money, but although Burger
they
King
got possible,
I was going to say Burger King. Sometimes
those French toast sticks.
No, they got a whole they got a whole like vegan thing here in Australia. They got two vegan options.
And the fries too are not cooked in beef tallow, whatever, right?
That's right. So, sometimes I'll tell you when I'm in an airport, a vegan Burger King, it's all right.
So maybe thank you
take,
to okay,
maybe I would take the Burger King money.
Thank you to Burger King. We appreciate it. Guys, I keep hearing about this band Ceremony, who's going on tour with two bands I already have heard, Spy and Gel.
It's a sick
can you
tour.
Tell me? Can you tell me about Ceremony? It looks like they have a lot of records. Where should I start? Are they a hardcore band?
Well, Wallace, I think they are a hardcore band. They've changed their sound over the years quite well, honestly. Very few bands have been able to pull off what they've been able to pull off. Very early. So considering the bands Gel and Spy that they're playing with, they're early. If you mess with them and you really like that style, you probably prefer the earlier era of Ceremony. So that's probably up to Ronert Park, would you say?
Up to Zoo, I would say.
Zoo. Okay. Like, so it's faster. It's more like it's nearly that style of music we talked about before, Power Violence. It's got mosh parts, snarly singer. Excellent. One of the best at that style of their time. And then slowly but surely, they kind of got back. They started with a more, I would say, like late 70s, early 80s punk sound. But not like, sure. not what we're thinking of. We're not thinking of, like, you're probably thinking of New York, like, or like hardcore, like very, very punk. Punk that like your parents, you know, or your grandparents at this point might have known.
Oh, about. Is this like the California punk stuff we talked about last time?
It is.
Quite. Yes. Like bands like X or the Wipers and bands like of that ilk. So it's not as like it's not the punk that we think of. Well, at least that I don't think of first when I think of punk. And then they kind of went even further into that and almost became like an amazing like post hardcore band, but in a way that like the Cure post punk kind of thing. Like probably better. That's probably a better term. But
probably post punk. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Walt, I will keep myself succinct here. I am able to talk about this band with a great deal of clarity because I'm not any type of real fan. I think that they are the most important hardcore band of the last 15 years. I think that their influence is more noticeable in things that you, Weston, a young person, would like.
Okay.
Than even bands that might have in some ways been bigger or we think of as being bigger or whatever. I think Ceremony is the DNA for, I mean, I hear it in every fucking band of people under 26, every single one. So an important
band, which is shocking.
Look, they're long lived and they never got lame. If you want,
that's exactly right.
If you,
but wanna, they're stealing from the earliest,
yes,
like Violence era, which was when they were like when the folks now were like 11,
yeah, but
or four,
yeah.
It's now. I mean, it could be that long ago. I have no idea.
But
2006.
Here's the thing, those shows around that era are considered. Like they're the thing of legend, you know what I mean? Like that, those were the wildest shows, the best shows.
I mean, that Sound and Fury video,
yeah,
is yeah, that's right.
Like one of the old-time classic.
I've said it on this podcast before, but I really want to stress it. It is just you have to give this band. I know a lot of our listeners are fans, so I'm probably not saying anything crazy here, but like, it's even more than that. It's like. Like I don't want to put Ceremony on other bands because maybe that's rude, but it is the primary influence for so much of what we fucking have right now. That is, and I'm talking about the stuff that we would call good right now. You know what I mean? So that's another part of it that kind
like,
of matters.
I mean, like Gel and Spy.
Yeah, precisely.
And I think also other than Title Fight, they're the only band that switched up styles so much and can still play a set of all those songs and it doesn't feel weird.
Yes.
They do a wonderful job of being like, here's like a piano ballad into one of the craziest hardcore songs you've ever heard. And it's go and you go, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, very few bands can do that.
Bob coming in here. Maybe not Tsunami, but I think you can't deny the influence Ceremony has on Gulch, has on Scowl, has on Drain.
100%.
I bet you if you asked most of those members, they'd say Ceremony was the band that got them wanting to be a band or being into hardcore, like to that level. Not even like, oh, I like Ceremony. Like, no, I love Ceremony.
No, so occasionally, and I truly appreciate Patrick for this, he throws out thesis statements. The thesis statement here being Ceremony is the most important hardcore band of the past 15 years. I think we could provide an awful lot of supporting evidence. One, everything you said
that comes to mind otherwise is probably TUI.
TUI is super important, and it's just a different strain. You know what I mean?
But I'm going on what I hear in people's
right music. Now.
Sure. You know what I mean? Like, yes, TUI. Also, we got to put stuff like Terror in there. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
of course.
A thing that doesn't get like kind of addressed enough. Everybody knows a local Terror. Every single person. The sound of my voice. But there's got to be
some credit paid, whether you like the style or not,
yes,
for the fact that there's so many progenitors, so many offspring.
Yes,
like that. They Johnny Appleseeded. I mean, the world, literally, with Terror. Bands, you know, Ceremony, it's a different energy, but I think in the way their band evolved, in the way they never got uncool, in the way they've been able to say, hey, we're a post-punk band now when you buy our records, or we're moving into different sounds, but if you still come see us, we're not going to be embarrassed to play our fast songs.
Yep.
That's a talent. That says something. I think it's kind of amazing. And we should do the Ceremony deep dive episode where we actually break through their records one by one because they deserve it. And I am currently struggling. I think there are not. TUI is a good one to talk about, but as far as importance to hardcore and what it is today,
Title Fight
and how it sounds, Title Fight's right there. But here's my question, Tom. There are Title Fight bands who've been inspired by them, bands who take from them, bands who were kind of pushed on. Terror's at the top of this heap with the bands we've mentioned so far, then TUI. Yeah. I see a lot of Ceremony elements across platforms and across sounds, and almost more in the like genetic makeup. Title Fight, I see that, but I think Title Fight was so singular because they pulled off something where musically they were never particularly close to hardcore. When they first start, they're very close to pop punk. They move from pop punk sound to like this post-hardcore, post-pop punk thing, essentially define a new genre and then build out of that.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to
factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. To get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code axetogrind50 at factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
So there's a lot of offspring in that world.
Yeah, but I don't know, there's many there.
Like Basement, you know, like Turnover, like Citizen.
But they're all playing hardcore shows.
That's true. It's true. Well, oh yeah, yeah. No, I agree. And it's
that's the thing. I mean, maybe not they, music, they, we not could, sound wise.
No, but we could also, you know, we could say that they opened, you know, they walked so bands like Fiddlehead could run. You know.
Does Soul Blind play Sound and Fury?
Maybe. But you're not wrong. No, they were the band. They were always the band who was like, well, clearly they make sense to play Sound and Fury.
But I think they opened that lane up for a generation of bands to be able to play hardcore shows.
I don't disagree. I think they opened up the lane for bands to start with a sound that wasn't, that was square peg and play in a hardcore world in the modern sense, right? This is something that historically, ancient history was there. The Butthole Surfers. No one's calling them hardcore based purely on sound. And they eventually evolve into something else. They had nowhere else to go. Big Boys had nowhere else to go. Flipper had nowhere else to go. And that's on and on and on. Proletariat. Listen to the Mission to Burma. Like, listen to those bands. They're not like hardcore by sound, but you go, okay, they fit there. In the modern parlance, they came into a world of Terrors and Trapped Under Ice and Ceremony and Nails and, you know, Betrayed and et cetera, hardcore, and made a space, and it opened the doors for this to once again, maybe in the way that early 80s punk hardcore was, more so than late 80s, more so than the early 90s. Well, 90s had a minute there where they were open, but it's now become part of the culture to have that external, like, curveball sound, right? Like, Pity Sex playing Sound and Fury, not weird. Super Heaven playing Sound and Fury, not weird. Cola Boy playing Sound and Fury, a little weird, but cool, and let's give it a try. Soul Blind playing Sound and Fury, not weird, even a little bit. So
no,
you're definitely right about Title Fight opening that door. Well, we just identified something. We'll talk about this. The most important hardcore bands of the past 20 years is a conversation we should have, and why, because all the bands we're naming are for different reasons. You know what I mean? And there's strong arguments to be made for each. And I think there's a few others that we could throw in the mix that might be surprising or might not be, you know? Because we just had this conversation about most important hardcore bands of the past 20 years, kind of, and didn't mention Half Heart and didn't mention American Nightmare. You know what I mean? Like, didn't mention Knock Loose, you know, like, there's a bunch of them. So, all right. Are you guys ready for Wallace to re-enter the room?
Yes, please.
Go, Walden.
I really like hardcore, but sometimes I figure that bands are playing just a style that they already know, but doing it really well. What do you think is the best band who is completely unoriginal?
Oh, great question.
That's tough.
I mean, as a slight, because hardcore is a really cool genre, but sometimes somebody's just writing something that someone else has already done, but does it even better.
Yeah. I mean, like, hold on. Let's jump out of the Winston conversation for a second and just establish this for our listeners. I'm not doing anything original. You know what I mean? I'm a musician. I'm not doing anything original. Sometimes you just do what you like, and there's nothing to be offended by here.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Let's see. Sometimes
you say, I like steak and mashed potatoes. Let me mix them together. And I'll throw in some corn, And sometimes you go, yes, I like steak and mashed potatoes, just like that.
It's also, I say this as a guy who like really tries to be clever and tries to do things that are interesting and whatever.
Ultimately, you don't say.
Well, you're limited by, I mean, not everybody's a fucking genius. Some of us just like music.
You're limited by your abilities.
Yeah, like, for Tom, sure. You really love music. Have you ever thought of yourself as a fucking genius? Like,
I don't even consider myself a musician.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Despite the fact that you've sang on upwards of 30 songs, maybe closer to 50.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. And like, but like, I look at other people that can like that are singing on records. I'm like, that's a musician. I just yell in tune.
Yeah. So we're not going to we hope that there's an understanding that if we say somebody's doing something really well, something unoriginal very well, that they they know that that's a pretty high form of compliment from us.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, okay. Webster.
I have one that comes to mind.
Oh, you go in.
I don't want to go in.
You can text it.
I feel bad. I don't know if
text it so we can check. And by the way, I wanted to say,
not in a bad way. Like, not that like I really like the people in this band, and I think they're a great, great band.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, so I'll be somewhere and they'll play and people are like, yo, this is like so 90s.
No, this is a good one. This is a good one. They'll take it with the right energy.
Yeah, sure. So
I think an excellent band that is, you know, and I think they would say they're not reinventing the wheel is Magnitude.
No doubt.
Tell me about Magnitude, guys. I've heard that name before, but I don't know what they sound like.
They're a straight edge hardcore band from North Carolina.
Yes.
Been around for a couple of years. They have an LP out on Triple B Records, which I'm sure you're familiar with. They're students of the game.
And they have the game like, is 90s hardcore.
But like to such an extent that like it's so incredibly well done.
Yeah.
That you know every riff. And you go, what is that? No. They're like the riffs are their own, but it's such of a time and a place. And along, you know, another band. While I'm talking about Magnitude, that this brings to mind that we can also talk about is Combust.
Sure, I think really really good picks.
And they're like, if you were like, you know what, I wonder what hardcore in Queen sounded like in 1989. You like, you know, like I don't want to listen to these like compilation records. I just want one band. You go, here's a Combust record because they sound like Outburst. And Killing Time and every band in that very, very, very finite period of time, they've done that to its extent, its highest level. And I think the same thing with Magnitude. They've done 90s stuff. And not like the 90s, like more what was considered metal in the 90s, but now just sounds like hardcore.
Yeah, it's somewhere between Strife and the New Age catalog, you know?
Exactly. But so, I think they're perfect at that.
I mean, I think they're so perfect at it that they – it's the exact point of this. It would be heretical to say they're better than Band X, Band Y, etc. But I just want to say if they were part of the New Age catalog who was doing that type of sound, they would likely be at the top of the heap.
It would be them and Outspoken.
And they're stand on the shoulder of giants kind of thing, right? You're like coming for some certain genre stuff, et cetera, et cetera. They do it exceptionally well and bring in just a little bit of energy from the, you know, like I've always thought the relationship between Strife and then the stuff, like, cause Strife put out a record on New Age, I think this first 7-inch or second 7-inch.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then they go into Victory, and that's where their sound, as we kind of, as most people know it, really forms. But it's not a million miles from the New Age stuff. It's just a little more. It's a little more. They take the tempo of New Age stuff. I think all ape the tempo of Judge, But yeah, they clean up the sound, better production on the record, no doubt.
Moshier.
And went a little more moshy and a little more metallic, but not crazy. Not like,
no.
If you compare it to Unbroken, definitely not more metallic. You know, it's in the same boathouse. But that they found this space between those things and swirled them together and made a sound that is both their own and also something that's very, very recognizable. Yo, I wanted to say that Combust Another Life record is really good.
It's excellent.
We haven't talked about it enough in terms of the last few years for classic kind of late 80s, 89 style New York hardcore.
Yeah. It's to a me, new it's recomp. That,
right. To me, it's the Big Cheese LP, the last Big Cheese LP. Was it Punishment Park? And then this Combust Another Life record is really good. That band deserves a lot of time and attention. I hope they push because I want to see them out do it. And we're part of this episode was to talk some new music, which we're doing, which I'm happy about. But that record deserves time and attention. Really good. Patrick,
yes.
Do you have any other for best band who is perhaps not rewriting, rebuilding the wheel?
Well, I was
going to go new or old, by the way.
Let's see. I'll go to my music catalog, which, by the way, have you ever been signed out of your Apple ID?
It's a catastrophe.
It's a catastrophe. It's a
nightmare.
You have
no idea what it was. You got to sign into seven different places.
Yeah, like right, because I signed in once, however many years ago.
It's not just it's your phone aggressively. Like I just went to look at my iTunes.
And it goes, what about now? You want to put your password in now? What about now?
Aggressively, yeah, exactly. It just pop. Okay,
and then so, if you sign out there, then it signs you out of everywhere.
It's hell.
It's a wonderful thing.
It's hell. I'm getting an Android.
Nice job.
Okay. So, Webby, the problem here is that I'm a very clever man and I've got nothing but clever music on my computer. So it's difficult.
Yo, just gets called clever on a New York Times podcast once. It's all it takes for this dude to like print himself a t-shirt that says clever man.
Oh, I didn't get to the part where they said that. Is that
I think
true?
It was in the part that I sent you.
They call you a clever man, but then they also say, well, you don't have to worry about him beating you up, dude. It's no big deal.
Because they called you theatrical.
They also called you a wimp. They said clever, theatrical wimp.
Don't appreciate that, really.
Yeah.
Welcome to
welcome to the weak side of the drama room, brother.
Yeah, I guess so. It hurts my feelings. So
that was a wonderful listen, though, Pat. You should really sit and listen to it.
Yeah, shout out to New York Times Popcast, who did a really shockingly well done conversation on hardcore right now. So shout out to
CR and Tom.
Yeah. And the other fellow, John, who is the regular host.
Who was like
that,
the host.
He did great.
He's the Winston.
I was impressed. He was their Winston. That's right. He was their Wallace and Gromit. So yeah.
Pretty much. With a little bit Patrick, more knowledge in the schmuck.
100%. Let's get in. Patrick, what's your answer here? You're searching.
Well,
we've vamped so much for you.
Hold on. Actually, I can, you know what? Just by going to Discogs, I can, I bet I can find one. No. Hold on. We're going to, because Bob is going to appreciate how I do this. I'm going to Sinking Ships.
Okay.
You know why?
I do, but go ahead.
Because I'm going to click on a friend of the room, Paul B., a member of Sinking Ships, because he loves Youth Crew in this intense sort of like, I mean, he's a well-adjusted adult, which most people that are playing Youth Crew into their adulthood are not necessarily well-adjusted. This is a person with a job and a wife and a good life.
Family, yes.
Not tragic. But he was in Gone But Not Forgotten and Deadweight.
Yep.
And here's the thing. Gone But Not Forgotten is a good example. It's really just wants to be exactly like...
It wants to be floor punched very badly.
And the art is a hooded mosher. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's, mm-hmm. it's accepts what it is. Now, what it is an abomination. And it hurts my ears because I hate that type of music, but it is, succinct and accepts itself. So what are you going to say? You know what I mean? And there's certain musicians, Paul being one of them, who are capable of so much and just say, no, here's what I like. And they play very within a style. And sometimes to really great effect. Really great effect when I like the style of music.
So I will say this. You know who else,
Winston?
Oh, Bob editing here, because you mentioned that. The Northwest did a very good job in little spots, taking different angles at straight edge hardcore. More melodic, a little faster. I think Go It Alone did the best version of like somewhere between Battery and Chain of Strength is Go It Alone. And it's really, and maybe throwing a little more melody, and it's really good. Sinking Ships did a post-American Nightmare take on Turning Point really well. Betrayed did
Life of Agony. Lifetime. Sorry,
Lifetime. Betrayed, which is some Northwesters in California, but I associate them with the Northwest a bit. Did a take on. I think they did basically what if Dag Nasty was a youth group band, and so it's really interesting. So I there's a few others that I would recommend from that. There's one 7-inch I fucking love. That I'm going to try to find from that world, but it wasn't a big one. No, it was very small.
It wasn't Blue Monday, was it?
No. They did one 7-inch and that was it. I have to like rack my, but anyways, that entire scene, Go It Alone had some originality. Singing Ships originality, Shook One's originality, Betrayed originality. All of them had their own elements that they were pulling in. To be honest, there's Betrayed songs where Todd 100% was pulling in like funny, weird 90s alt stuff to create what he did. but they also were kind of doing this straight edge ish world of sound that worked really well. And there's some real highlights. There's a bunch of bands I didn't mention that you can also discover from that world. So, please don't take just the ones I said. Tom, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, another band, a band called Saves the Day.
Mm. Oh.
We're a band.
Well, tell me about that band.
Sure. They were young kids when they first came out from New Jersey, from New Brunswick, I believe, in that general area. Their first record or two were like literally a note-for-note tribute to a band called Lifetime, another band from their area. And Lifetime... If any of the current pop punk meets hardcore that is popular today, the Koyos, the No Pressures, and the bands that those folks came from, or
Anxious, sure,
Newfound Glory, or fucking Fall Out Boy,
yeah,
like the two bands that they all owe to. Well, it's probably actually Blink, but I hear a lot of Lifetime and Descendants and all those bands.
Mm. Sure.
So Lifetime was like a hardcore band at the time. They were like a full-on hardcore band. No one would consider them. No one called Lifetime pop punk in 1997. You know what I mean?
No.
They were playing CBs with 108. They were not,
Yeah.
But they were like laid a lot of the groundwork for like the new era of like pop punk with mosh, like hardcore mosh parts. Is that fair? I feel like
definitely.
Jersey's Best Dancers. Like there's like parts that like would fit in on a Floor Punch show, and then there's parts that would fit in on a Fall Out Boy show.
So they were, Lifetime to me were the most melodic new age band, almost no metal, almost no fast. They did a few gallops, like they'd get to a gallop, but never blasting on their early records, but with a strong sense of melody and singiness. What's that?
I feel like the early stuff is boring.
A lot of people feel that way. No, like, lots of people feel that way. You either love it. Yeah, you either love it because for whatever reasons, or you're kind of like, oh, weird. They did the Tinnitus 7-inch is where it takes a turn.
Yep.
And they basically speed it up, keep the melody, up the tempo in songs that they were like, you know, basically like, hey, we were writing a song before that was like 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, 1.5 minutes, you know, and basically infused this punk energy, which they all love, like old punk and love melody. And they really changed the game. And that's, you know, they basically redefined a sound where they went from hardcore to pop punk, but not with an intent. Basically, like in the same ways that pop punk was formed, like OG, like taking these melodic punk elements and speeding it up and making it a little hardcore, you know, like they took those old punk elements and melody and sense of like efficiency and put it there. I think even stuff like Angel Dust doesn't sound like Lifetime to me, but that idea of efficiency and sound and like, let's write a fast, fun punk song with a sense of melody. And at their best point, they do the same thing Lifetime does, which is like, oh my God, this is a fun, energetic song that has a strong melody to it, you know? So shout out. The band I was thinking of from the Northwest is this band In Stride. They did a 7-inch called Place of Decay. It's faster than most of the stuff from the Northwest. Bunch of songs. Not Youth of Today Worship by any stretch, but feels like it's got all the urgency that I want from a straight edge hardcore record. Hard to find, but if you find it, it's cheap. In Stride, Place of Decay, 7-inch on Bottled Up Records. Everybody should get that. Guys, Wilson has a few more questions for you. Are you guys still, you're good? Your iced tea isn't getting too warm over there?
No, we're in it.
Wilson!
What was hardcore about in the early part of the 2010s?
Moshing. Gold LeMay shirts.
Fuck. Help me out. What era? Somebody give
2010
me
to 2015.
No, I know. I'm saying.
You want the editor's note. Okay. This is the era that is TUI on top. You have the emergence of stuff like Code Orange in the later half. Turnstile hasn't popped yet. You have the Screamo wave is as big as it ever gets.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You have the This Is Hardcore Fest are huge. I'm trying to think what else. The heavy stuff.
Reunions are still popping.
Reunions are popping. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happens in the 2010 to 2015 range. Title Fight is exploding. That's kind of why I wanted
Valley to ask. Hardcore question. Is popping.
Yeah, there's a lot Starting. Of stuff going on. Online merch stores are exploding.
that's a whole thing.
It's a People weird putting time. F-words, so
curses on their shirts, middle fingers, yeah. And
so how do you explain it? The early part of the 2010s to someone who wasn't there and wasn't familiar with it.
Free for all.
You have the nascent demo core responsive scene. This is like the post Have Heart. Where does hardcore go from that?
Okay. So a lot of my memory of this era was that there was a number of bands that were able to make rent touring for the first time in years.
Oh, was that not something bands could do forever?
There's been boom and bust periods in hardcore where there's plenty of bands that are able to make rent. Then sure. There's none. or then there's terror.
Yeah. There's Hatebreed, Terror, and Sick of It All one time. And then there's years that it's like, oh, everybody, like,
yeah.
By the way, aside, we're not trying to count people's pockets here ever. We're also just noting these are bands who toured hard, toured relentlessly, and made it so they could afford to pay rent for their small apartment or shared home or etc. Not sure, trying to say like people were like. Minting new homes in the beach. Just saying that there's bands who made it a reality through hard work and effort, and many who just never were able to. through many, many reasons. But all right, go ahead. Go back.
So that was my memory, that there was they were popping up bands that could tour enough through the year and with enough support that they would that there was kind of an emerging class of pro core, but it was of a different variety. You know what I mean? Like Touche Amore is certainly pro core in all the ways that we would. And by the way, Webby, the pro core is occasionally, like, depending on who's saying it, it's like the word Jew. If the wrong person's saying it, there's a tone, and you're kind of like,
right. There can be a streak of malice.
Yeah, you're kind of like, what the fuck? But otherwise, it's just a word, right? So, pro core means that you are a professional touring musician that plays hardcore music. That's all it means, right? So, and there's a lot that gets attached to that, but there's not always a lot of pro core bands. As Tom said, some years it would be like, every time I die, terror. You know, you could do it on a Ninja Turtle hand, but now there is, the 2010s saw kind of this emerging touring act thing. So that was interesting to witness, particularly because I liked a lot of the bands, or at least respected them. Tom, what else was pop? Well, like what was the vibe?
You know, this is terrible because I was around for the whole time. And I have no, which may be telling.
Yes.
Nothing pops out of that time. Those bands, like everything that Bob like said, I'm like, oh yeah, of course. But if you were like, give me like an overview of 2010 to 2015, TUI and like Code Orange does not pop in my head. And I love both bands at the time.
So here's how I do it. I go TUI, Touche, and Title Fight. That's how you start. However,
I love all three bands, would not have assigned them to that time period for whatever reason. Right. Maybe there was too much going on that there was like, it was hard to differentiate. I don't know.
Well, they didn't, none of them started in that time. They all started before that, but they were and basically opened the doors for a lot of stuff. Then you have the next wave starts in there. Like Power Trip is a band, but they're not on top till the very, towards the end of it, right? Code Orange starts, same deal. Turnstile starts, same deal. Incendiary starts, same deal. There is almost this weird, it's kind of not a vibe in a way because it's so undefined.
There's no like uniform vibe. That's right. That's fair.
It's almost like there was this void of a vibe. There was. Like, I want to be honest. Like picture Title Fight Kid meme, right? That person existed so hard in the 2010 to 2015 range. Picture the Trapped Under Ice, doesn't totally get it, but really loves hitting people. And man, flat brims are sick. That was a vibe. That was at a lot of shows too. And then picture what someone would imagine as the stereotyped scrams kid. Remember people using the term scrams? There we go. That was
also
a
had
thing.
A weird connotation. Yeah.
It certainly did. And I think I might have said it with that, which I didn't mean, but I think it's a funny word. So I think that is like how you do it. But there's a lot that gets lost in there as well because there was so much happening. Tom, you identified reunions were popping. If you wanted to see any band that existed in hardcore from 1980 to the present, between 2010 and 2015, you could do that.
And the Great White Whales had like Chain happened, and
Chain,
Judge
Infest, like
right.
Basically, it thinned the White Whale list greatly. You want to see real
list?
You
could see. Threat.
Yeah, yeah.
You GB, like see, it was a local band.
GB, anytime. You know, a Chain played enough that people got tired of going to see the shows. All the Rev classics you could see. All that stuff, you know? And that sort of created an interesting kind of dynamic. Triple B starts to take off. It really starts popping. The rise of Demo Core There's a lot of the demo core stuff, the new scene.
Hey, I'm
stuff.
Winston.
Yes.
What's demo core?
Oh, shit. Come on.
See you later.
Yeah. Can we end on that, please?
Yes, we can. That's a great place to end. All right, everybody. Thank you. Wilfred will be back. School's in session. Let's go.